Out of the Ballon d'Or winners that aren't Messi and Ronaldo, where does Dembele rank? Because, like, it might be pretty low.
Yeah, you want to talk about Arsenal agenda? I give you Victor Gyökeres in 15th.
He scored 56 goals!
What has football discourse come to where we are arguing over 2 minutes that Everton didn't get against Liverpool?
We here!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box podcast, where today we are going over the latest breaking news in football, most notably the Ballon d'Or rankings that just dropped a mere hours ago. We are also talking about the opening fixtures of the Champions League. We are talking about Arsenal's last ditch draw against City. We are talking about United's surprise win against Chelsea. We're going over all the latest in football. But first, how are you doing, Blake? Because you look a little distressed. You look a little disappointed.
You brought up Arsenal. Oh. I don't know how to feel about them right now, but we have more important news to talk about first.
Oh, we do have more important news to talk about first. And this has been an announcement on this podcast that I've been waiting months to deliver. Mm-hmm. If you've been keeping up with our socials, you might have seen us teasing it a little bit over the past little bit. But it's official now. Announced today over on Instagram. If you missed it, kick the stigma.
Kick the stigma.
We are hosting a charity soccer game. It is broadcasting on our YouTube channel on November the 16th. We are co-promoting it with Fan First Network and Footy Culture, and we are getting the biggest, the brightest, the best soccer influencers in Toronto involved in this game.
And a few special others if we can.
Of course. And if you have not yet donated or have not yet heard about this announcement, you can head over to our Instagram over there and you could donate with the link in our bio. It'll be the first link in the description as well. Oh, I'm so excited to put this on.
Yeah, man.
Oh my goodness.
It'll be so much fun. We're partnering with CAMH. Did you say that?
Yes, we are partnered with CAMH, the Center of Addiction and Mental Health.
Yes. Yes, they're a Toronto-based charity focusing on addiction mental health. Obviously, we are focusing on my athletes' mental health. Pretty simple stuff. Like, mental health is just as important as your physical health, and it really should be talked about. And it's talked about a lot, but it just should be, the severity of it should be talked about more than it is. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we want everyone to donate. That's why we will be donating. So yeah, we have a goal up. Hopefully we can reach it by the time that the match actually comes out. But we're super excited and we're going to have so much fun. And yeah, it'll be great.
There'll be plenty of details coming out in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be updating you every single episode on it, including a player announcement, coaches announcements, special prizes that you can win, ways that you can get involved, whether you're from Toronto or not. We'll be delivering plenty, plenty, plenty of updates. So go over to our Instagram if you haven't already and check it all out.
Yes.
Woo. Now into the breaking news of the day, which was the Ballon d'Or rankings coming out. Ousmane Dembele.
Arsenal agenda, as always.
How?
Arsenal agenda, because freaking... it's not Mercedes. Bonmati won again.
Okay? Instead of...
Bonmati won again.
Instead of...
Instead of... Caldente.
Yep.
Not Mercedes. And all I'm going to say is, obviously, we don't really focus on the women's side of football usually. Antoine is usually locked in, but I'll speak for myself and say I'm not. But I am locked in on the fact that Caldente had a fantastic season for Arsenal, helped them win the Champions League, had 30-plus goal contributions. But Barcelona, the Barcelona player who has won 2 years in a row already, gets her third Ballon d'Or in a row, and it's Arsenal agenda forever. And this reminded me very specifically of another Champions League moment a mere 2 years ago. What Champions League moment am I talking about that I just saw on an edit recently?
I have no idea.
The fucking Saka penalty. Oh my God. The more I watch that moment, the more I am so incensed that that was not a penalty. We could have won the Champions League that year. We should have beat Bayern that year. But all because Arsenal agenda, as always. And like, obviously I'm trolling, but genuinely, that is never in my mind not a penalty. And like, if that happened to any other team, it's a pen. Anyway,
18 months ago, lad.
Yes.
18 months ago.
Yeah, bro. Call me... Like, say in my head, call me fucking obsessed. Yeah, I am, because it's an injustice, and it deserves to be talked about.
God, you're ridiculous. Okay, back to the matters of business here. Obviously, we are not as tapped in with women's football as we should be, but experts that actually watch, breathe the game, live this game, the woman's side of the game, are all up in arms saying that Mariona Caldente should have won
the woman's Ballon d'Or. That's what I should have led with.
Yes.
But I did the other thing.
Meanwhile, yeah, you got Barcelona fans saying Rafinha robbed this, Yamal robbed that. And meanwhile, Balmati's over here winning the Ballon d'Or, scamming the Ballon d'Or in plenty of people's opinions. I said that, I butchered that.
But I got what you were saying. It is, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. And like, is she an overall undeserved winner? No. She's probably still, if not the best player, at least the second or third best player in the world. Yep. So it's not like it's, you know, they're not giving it to Scott McTominay here. Throwing you a bone. But like, at the end of the day, Ballon d'Or and a bunch of these big ceremonies and the biggest sporting companies and biggest sporting leagues in the world, there is a bit of PR in them. There just is. And there's a bit of politics. Like, there just can't not be. So, I don't know. It's got to keep that in mind. But, yeah. Obviously, it doesn't really bug me that much because I don't really follow women's footy. But, fuck. Like, I want the Arsenal player to win it, of course.
But Matty wins the women's Ballon d'Or. Ronaldinho comes out to announce the men's Ballon d'Or. He gives a little smirk to the camera right when he opens his envelope. And in that moment, I went, oh my goodness.
It was Lamine, bro.
It's Lamine.
It's Lemon, bro.
But it wasn't Lemon.
It wasn't Lemon, bro.
It was Ousmane Dembele winning the men's Ballon d'Or.
The deserved
winner. 2025. And I think it is fully deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think anybody looking at it with an unbiased view would think differently.
No, and there's like a lot of discourse in some other of our chats about who should have won the Ballon d'Or. And I don't want to call anyone out here, but there's a lot of dead ball knowledge in some of these chats that I've been seeing.
It's ridiculous.
I just don't understand how you look at the Ballon d'Or ceremony as a whole. The parameters that are set now that it's a calendar year, one, but also the fact that it focuses on like individual performances, which Dembele 100% does have.
Yep.
The fact that we know that trophies matter in this competition, or I guess in this ceremony. What more do you want from the guy?
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
Like, I don't know.
And I'm hearing a bunch of, I'm hearing a lot of stick from the Barca fans.
Mm.
And mainly it's because Rafinha came fifth in the Ballon d'Or. And I definitely see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But a lot of people saying Rafinha was robbed, I don't think so. I don't think so. Mm. I think you could argue that he should come fourth over Salah. A little bit higher, sure. But top three, top two, I think that's a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Even the Barca fans saying that he should come over Lamine Yamal himself, I think that's... I respect that opinion more, obviously, because no bias there. But I think what's not being talked about enough here is the factor of decisiveness in these games.
Yeah.
If you look at stats, I think Rafinha has it over Yamal any day.
Sure.
He absolutely clears him. But if we're solely looking at stats, then why is Bruno not nominated, right? If Bruno was nominated, it would be a farce, all right? But he had the stats to back it up if you want to play that game, right? Yeah, you're looking at me like that, but that's...
But Blake always brings up Arsenal. Bring up Bruno in a Ballon d'Or debate? Fuck out of here.
I'm saying that you shouldn't be in the Ballon d'Or debate.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Exactly.
You're cooking.
Exactly. But the decisiveness in those big Barcelona games, I'm thinking the tie against Inter.
Yep.
I'm thinking their biggest Champions League games, their biggest games in La Liga, every single... Yep. El Clasico, it was Yamal front and center, grabbing the headlines, grabbing the big goals, and at 17 years old, which whether you like it or not, is a factor, pulling off these generational performances.
Yeah.
And Rafinha, when Yamal was injured, and whether Yamal was healthy too, was putting up great numbers, scoring more and assisting more than anybody expected.
Yeah.
And that rise for him by being labeled as having to go from Barcelona just over a year ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right.
And but some of the discourse that he's been absolutely stiffed here, I think is...
No, and that's where the bias comes in, and that's going to happen with these type of things. Sure. And I want to talk about the Salah thing a little bit, because I think after really looking at all of it and taking my own biases, like Premier League biases, and just like thinking about the tournament as a whole, Salah is like the exact opposite of what the rule change or the parameter change for the Ballon d'Or kind of works for. Because he kind of didn't have those decisive performances.
Exactly.
That's kind of the whole shtick around his player, is that he will just fart around for 85 minutes and score a penalty or score a tap-in. And like maybe he'll score a screamer, and Salah's still arguably the best winger in Premier League history, unless you count Henry as a winger.
No, you don't.
You don't?
Not as a winger.
Okay.
Go on.
I'm just saying.
Go on.
But his decisiveness is not nearly to the level of a Lamine Yamal, of a Dembele this season. It just wasn't.
No.
And that's why, while his season was great, comparable to the other two, you look at all the other factors, decisiveness, which you just talked about, Julian, Champions League, which I just talked about, there really isn't much of a debate. This, for me, is like one of the more clear-cut Ballon d'Ors we've had in a decent little while.
Yeah. I genuinely see people arguing that Mo Salah should have won the Ballon d'Or. I think you have way more of an argument that he shouldn't have even been top four. No, you do. Where was Salah after February?
Yeah, but then Cole Palmer was eight. So then, like, that's
decisiveness. Decisiveness.
Okay.
Decisiveness.
Yeah, but you're going to... So decisiveness in one Europa League game? Is that... Or one, like, one...
The Club World Cup, bro. The Club World Cup. And do not give me that, because this is an individual award voted on by hundreds of journalists, and they all deem that the Club World Cup is a very important tournament.
Sure,
and winning it in the fashion that Cole Palmer did is worth a lot.
But it shouldn't be.
But that is your opinion, and I appreciate that. That's why we have podcasts. But I don't like your opinion.
But it just shouldn't be.
Why?
Because the Club World Cup as a whole does not equate to the best teams in the world. It
Why?
Just doesn't. Because not the best teams don't play in it.
If Liverpool win the didn't Champions
play in
League,
it. Arsenal didn't play in it. Barcelona didn't play in it. If you're talking about evaluating...
They beat PSG in the final. They beat the best team in the world in the final.
Sure, but not every single best team in the world is playing. That's why the Champions League matters more than the Club World Cup.
Nobody's saying it's not.
But that's exactly my point. So,
okay.
You know what? It should matter a little bit. But again, with the Nations League, like, these minor tournaments should not matter. It should like be like Cole Palmer scoring the game-winning goal in a Carabao Cup. Like, that's not going to equate to...
All right. This is not what we're...
But it's a little bit more, but it's not that far adjacent, I don't think.
I think even me, as a Nations League defender, it's not comparable to the Club World Cup.
Okay, fair. Fair. And again, the Club World Cup, but it just became this thing. Like, people don't like change, and usually I'm okay with change, but... You got to give me at least another round through of the Club World Cup for me to fully buy into it. It was just accepted as something that we should care about literally this summer. This was the first time.
Of course. So for you,
sure.
Okay. Take all the time you need, my friend.
I will.
But for the hundreds of journalists who voted, they're considering it now.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
Do you have any other issues with the Ballon d'Or rankings? Well, I think there's one in particular that's jumping out to me.
You can talk about it. I'll rebuttal.
Yeah, you want to talk about Arsenal agenda? I give you Victor Gyökeres in 15th.
Okay, so not Arsenal agenda, because played for not Arsenal.
Yes, but you're going to defend it because he's now in Arsenal.
So give me a serious...
João Neves.
João Neves, yes. But my rebuttal...
Michael Olise.
What did Olise do besides win the league that you'd want? But you want to talk about decisive performances? A hat trick against Manchester City. That's what...
In a league
stage what did game. What did Miguel Olise do besides win the Bundesliga?
Well, he had great performances in the Champions League, just like that.
Yeah, so...
He balled out the Club World Cup. He's been balling out for Bayern all summer. And I know you did not watch a second of it.
He scored 56 goals! He scored like 60 goals!
All right, I'm sorry.
He scored...
Gyökeres was scoring bangers against Casapia, guys. So
he scored 60 goals!
Let me
see,
relax.
See, goalposts are being moved. But anyway, it's fine. Genuinely, he deserved... Do you think Gyökeres deserved to be nominated for the Ballon d'Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe he should have been like... I need to take a look at the rankings again. But I'd say like 21st, 22nd range.
And like, you know what? I probably don't disagree with you. Like
we made a top 15. He was not in my top 15.
Okay, fair.
Yes.
But like, I certainly think he should be above Vinny as of last year. And
I think Scott McTominay should have been over him.
Okay, well, now, okay, no. We're just, no, we're not having this. I
think Robert,
Antoine, I'm
Lewandowski should have been over
no,
him.
No, I'm going to send
Antoine
Martina this goddamn
should have been over him.
The guy who hates Scott McTominay called
him
overrated just 10 minutes ago when I asked him before we started the recording. And now, all of a sudden, because it's an Arsenal player, because it's Gyökeres, Scott McTominay, who he thinks is overrated, by the way, who I just asked him, and he said he was overrated once again.
Yeah.
Should be over him.
But he had a better season than Victor Yorkerez last year.
I mean, like, in what sense? That they both won the league? They both won their respective
Serie
leagues.
MVP.
Okay. He was the Sporting. Fuck. The Liga NOS MVP.
Was he now?
Yeah.
Was he the Liga Portugal MVP?
The Liga Portugal, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
And you know what? I did not know that.
Okay, so what...
Wow.
Bro, also, can we just... act like, let's not act that like 60 goals is just something that everyone does. If everyone did it, then everyone would have done it.
Of course. Victor Gorkers is clearly a talented player because he's coming to Arsenal and put up...
And he's going to score 20 at Arsenal.
Yeah, but did you see the translation? 60 down to 20 the second you put him in a decent league.
20 goals in a good league is fantastic.
Not Ballon d'Or top 15 fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, but we're not talking about speculate. I was just doing it to bring Arsenal. We're talking about last fucking year. So don't even fucking worry about where he is right now.
Exactly.
So don't worry about where he is right now. So then don't do that.
The question
so redact your comment. Redact your comment.
The question that I'm posing to you, Blake Talibas, is should 60 goals in the Portuguese league be considered higher than a Serie A MVP, than winning the Nations League and the Champions League and Liga and being part of the best midfield of last season? Does it put you over a Vinny? Does it put you over Robert Lewandowski?
It puts you over a Vinny, 100%. 100%. Vinny had an... For what Vinny should be
for
doing,
Vinny
had
standards?
A terrible season.
Absolutely he did. I think Lautaro Martinez should be over him. I think Lautaro Martinez should be over him. I think Fabian Ruiz should have been over him.
If we're talking about Lautaro Martinez, one, does not have the counting stats because that's not the kind of striker he is. Two, you want to talk about decisive moments? He had the chance to be decisive in many games. And sorry, not many games. The biggest game. And they did absolutely nothing with that chance.
Yeah, but
and
the
they also
that
lost
that
out on the
there
league.
In general counts for
yeah,
something.
But
it does.
Again, why does... So he was there in that position and fucked up. But Yorkerez won everything in his power besides the Champions League because he didn't play for a good team. He won everything else in his power. Scored the decisive penalty in the... Liga Portugal Cup final to get them into extra time and then scored in extra time as well to bring them over the top and win the double. I don't know. That means a lot to me, bro. It means
brother,
a lot to me.
Brother.
And obviously I have biases because he's my player now. But at the same time, like I don't think Declan Rice should be over him. Let's go down the list. Michael Olise, I don't think should be over him. Florian Wirtz, I don't think should be over him. Virgil van Dijk, you can make an argument, but defender, hard to evaluate. So I'm going to say no. Declan Rice, no. Erling Haaland, no, because just no. Denzel Dumfries, abso-fucking-lutely not. Denzel Dumfries had a really good season, but same argument I have for Lautaro Martinez. Fabian Ruiz, maybe. Like, probably. Probably.
Okay.
Jude Bellingham, no. Injured for a portion of the season, no.
Yeah.
For like a little bit.
I don't know.
There was a time where we talked about Jude having really poor stretches. Do you remember that? I remember that.
That was two seasons ago.
Okay. Redact that comment. Alexis McAllister, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, you're bringing up names here. You're bringing up names on Liverpool that I wasn't even considering before.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Now you're convincing
Guerassi,
me.
Guerassi, absolutely not. Lautaro Martinez, absolutely not.
Guerassi had a great fucking.
Oh my god.
Like, but no, you know, Gakpo is over him. Yeah.
Jean Neves, yes. Scott McTominay. You know what? You could give me the argument. Scott McTominay.
Oh yeah.
So that's like three players I've said. Robert Lewandowski.
Yes, maybe. Dude. Come on, maybe. You're a Pole. You should be on his side.
I think they're right there. I think from Robert Lewandowski being 17 to Victor Gyökeres being 15, there's not that much involved in that. So like, that's four players you put over him. So from 15 to 19, is that really that much to debate about? Or are you just hating because it's me? Or are you just hating because it's me? I think you might be just hating because it's me. I think that's low key.
Blake agenda, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if genuinely I. You're not doing it on purpose. But I know this in my heart. If Victor Gyökeres was not a Arsenal player, I think I would probably agree with you a little more and have him up at like maybe 17, 18. But I think you would not be as harsh as him for him being at 15. So I think it goes both ways, genuinely.
We have to consider as well, he was a Sporting player. I am a Benfica myself. So there is that bias there to start as well.
Forgot.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm not factoring that in here. I'm trying not to at least. So I do think like... The fact that he's even nominated for the Ballon d'Or being a Sporting player is ridiculous.
So good.
Period.
Right? Yeah.
Period. I can't remember the last like Portuguese player nominated for the Ballon d'Or because of how good they were in the Portuguese league. I cannot remember the last time that's happened. Because we throw this flag on the play every single time, whether it is a Sporting player, a Porto player, a Benfica player. Oh, you put up ridiculous stats in the Portuguese league? All right.
Yeah.
It's the Portuguese league. You know, maybe you're brought up a couple of pegs because of what you did in the Champions League, and that's great.
Yeah.
We've seen great strikers in Portugal ball out in the Champions League and then move to England and then shit the fucking bed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Darwin Nunez.
Yeah.
So, I think the fact that he's top 30 in general, crazy achievement.
Yeah.
I think you can definitely make the argument he's like 20 to 25 range, and that's crazy for a Sporting player.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not taking nothing away from that. 15th, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Agree to disagree. Fair enough.
All right, fair enough. I also want to point out as well, a little stat I saw today. Rodri is the first ever Ballon d'Or winner to not be nominated the year after.
Oh. I mean, like, yeah. Fair, but
injured. I know. Yeah, like, I know. But
that's a cool stat.
I'm trying to push it. I still think Vinny should have won it last year. No, that he robbed it last year. I still think Vinny should have won it last year. I know Real Madrid annoys you. They annoy me too.
But I
the fact they boycotted this event for the second year in a row pisses me off.
But I was on the Rodri train though. I was so. Back then, I was.
All right. Fair enough.
So I'm gonna ask you this. Out of like the last Ballon d'Or, out of the Ballon d'Or winners since like 2010, where does Dembele rank? Because like in my opinion, okay, out of the Ballon d'Or winners, out of the Ballon d'Or winners that aren't Messi and Ronaldo, where does Dembele rank? Because like it might be pretty low.
So Modric.
Modric is higher than him. Yeah.
It's Modric, it's Rodri, and it's Dembele. It's only three. Since 2010, that's not named Messi or Ronaldo.
No, you're lying. Who won it? I was gonna say Ribery. He got robbed that year.
And no, we did not.
Oh, of course you're gonna think that.
Let's not pretend we were watching every game back then.
Let's not pretend you were either.
Yeah, exactly. Agree to disagree. We just hear it from some people that he was robbed, and that's what I'm going to.
Okay,
but yes.
Like, no, Benzema, you bitch.
Ah, fair play. Sorry. 2022.
And like,
was
are we putting in Lewandowski? Like, we probably
could throw in Lewandowski. So out of that five, I'd put
like he's at the bottom. Like, I'm gonna be honest here. He's at the bottom. Benzema's over him. Lewandowski's 100% over him. Modric is 1,000% over him, in my opinion. Just off of like pedigree alone, like, and I know that's not what the Ballon d'Or is based off of, but like, you're gonna look back, and I'm not taking anything away from Dembele. He fully deserved this Ballon d'Or, but you're gonna look back on this Ballon d'Or, and you're gonna be like, "Damn, Dembele won the fucking Ballon d'Or, really?"
I'd have to agree with you. You know what I mean? And you know what? And because of that, I need to pay my dues now and give some respect to Dembele. Because now we're 30 minutes in. Antoine has his fist clenched that we haven't given any love to Dembele.
Well, we said he was a deserved winner, but go ahead.
Of course he's a deserved winner, but we need to do the monologue, because this man was, if you told me 1, 2, 3 years ago that Dembele was going to be a Ballon d'Or winner, I would have told you are stuck in 2017.
Yeah.
The fact that this man has had the roller coaster career and still ended up with the most prestigious award in football is crazy.
Yeah.
That you love seeing a comeback story, and this is the absolute epitome of that.
Epitome? Like epitome?
Epitone can be a word. You can say it like that.
Anyway, you're 1,000% right. I totally agree with you. It's one of those stories where you could not have seen it coming. The fall off from Dortmund to Barca, from Barca to exiled to... Was it Barca directly to PSG?
Yep.
Not exiled, but like... You know,
wasn't exiled. No, he left Barcelona in a very treacherous way, and he got a bunch of hate for it as well.
Like,
and now going to PSG, he joined right when Mbappe. No, it was this year where he was given the reins as the main guy for PSG. And I'm not gonna lie, a year ago, me, you, almost everybody was looking at that and saying, "I don't like this guy being the forefront of this PSG team, and it's a significant downgrade over a Kylian Mbappe."
Yeah.
But clearly that's not the case.
No.
He grabbed his chance by the scruff of the neck, and he absolutely delivered. Treble for PSG in his first year as the main guy is crazy.
Shout out you, man. Shout out Dembele.
I had to say that just for Antoine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he was here, the glazing would be a lot more. There may be a tear in his eye if he was here.
And you know what? I'm kind of mad he isn't here, but I'm kind of happy as well because, like, I would have said my thing and he would have got mean. Antoine gets mean when he fights for what he loves. He gets mean. So I get mean too, but he gets mean. It would have pissed me off because he would have been through the vision goggles of, like, he's the best player ever and, like, no one, what do you mean he's better than Benzema, he's better than all these players, and it would have been hard to put him down on that list, but I think you might have had that opinion.
The deserved winner. I don't think anyone with a footballing brain is arguing for the opposite.
No.
Shout out Dembele.
Yeah.
Shout out Antoine. Shout out PSG. And yeah. Is there anything else to say about the Ballon d'Or? Not really. All right. Does that mean we're moving on to Arsenal?
I mean, I guess. We can do that.
I want to ask you, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Do you think sometimes that Arteta's conservative football is costing you guys?
Yeah. I'm starting to get that opinion. I'm starting to get on that train.
Yeah.
It's just like a little too, like, it's almost like fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice.
Nope.
The other way. Fool me once, shame on you. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, but it's like, you know,
fool me three times, fuck the
insanity, times. That whole thing, a bunch of the cliches that you always hear. That's kind of where I'm getting sick of it. Because, like, I get it. Odegaard's injured. But we have, like, two really good attacking midfielders in Eze, in Nwaneri on the bench, and we still go for, like, a 3 CDM midfield against City at home when they're kind of struggling. It's weird, and it's concerning, and kind of why I'm a little bit checked out of the Premier League already, dare I say.
No way. Come on, dude.
Well, this game, to be fair, the City game, I was watching on my phone because I was traveling. We had a thing. So I wasn't as locked in as I could be. I was still watching every moment of the game. But, like, genuinely, I don't think I'm going to, like, celebrate a big win unless we're right there. And right now, 5 points seems like a cataclysm of just acres of space. And it's really not, but that's what it seems like. Even though Liverpool, I've been very critical of them. They're getting the results done. And, like, maybe I have been a little biased. Their results haven't, their matches per se, haven't been the easiest.
No.
Do I think Arsenal's have been harder? Yes. But Liverpool's haven't been easy either. And, like, they just look kind of unstoppable the way they're playing. Even if it's not convincing, they just keep doing it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, it's later on in the day.
You sound very defeated.
I am defeated. And, like, Martinelli, man, we need to all apologize. Every person who got on his ass needs to apologize.
He's in his natural position now.
What do you mean?
Coming off the bench.
Okay, well, see, you had to put a shot in, but fair. But, like, this is exactly what he needs to do. You got brought to the bench because we had better players in that position, and look what happens. You're making the best out of a bad situation. Shout out Martinelli. He single-handedly gained us 4 points in the last 2 games. So huge, huge kudos to him. I don't know where we'd be without him in these last 2 games. But there's issues. The conservative football is not good. Jokeres, I'm actually, for the most part, happy with his integration. I'm not happy with the squad's integration to him. I think they need to be better at getting the ball to him. He thrives at getting in behind, at getting chances and finishing them. We've struggled creating chances. That's not his role.
You're more used to, like, a Havertz.
And we're used to a Havertz. We're used to a Marino who, like, will not...
Will drop back.
Like, they're not hungry for the chances like that. And, like, I think it'll come, and I'm not worried about it. And Jokeres has 3 goals, and he's fine, and he's looked decent. Wasn't great in this game, but whatever. But, like, at some point, we need this team to integrate to him, and they just have to do it one way or another. And Arteta is a big, big part of making sure they do that. And as of right now, he's not doing a good enough job doing that. And that's another issue why we're not scoring enough.
His game plan went out the window, what, 10 minutes in when Haaland scored?
Pretty much.
Yep. So, and then, oh my God, City are not that good right now. you have, I would say you have a much better team than City right now. And the City beating United 3-0, I think that's a little bit of a wash. More
you said they would win the league, by the way. But anyway.
Yes, before a ball was kicked in the Premier League, I predicted City would win the league. And after their first game against Wolves, I actually thought so. And then the boat starts getting a little bit rocky. Now, don't get me wrong. If City hits their stride in February, like they always do, they could make a run. But them right now, as the team they are right now, you're much better than them.
Well, yeah.
But you're still, like...
But we're also not. We're not playing like it.
Well... In the second half, you did.
Yeah.
In the second half, you absolutely dominated after you brought in Saka, after you brought in Eze. If you just started the game like that...
Agreed.
I think you guys win this game.
Agreed. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can keep going, because I have another take after that.
Arteta made a bet that did not pay off, but this is a bet that he's made multiple times this season, multiple times last year, and he's losing again and again and again and again. And I understand you don't want to go balls to the wall against the biggest and best teams that are going to catch you on the break and going to catch you sleeping. But if you're going in this pragmatic style, then you're opening yourself up to a moment of brilliance from Dominic Szoboszlai. You're opening yourself up to Haaland catching you out on the break still because he's going to grab a goal. And if you're set up with that midfield three, then you are actively killing the chances, the chance of you creating chances and getting one back.
Agreed.
You looked, partly it was because City dropping back like you would expect them to, but when you guys brought in your creative players, you looked like the far better team. And it just has to beg the question, why don't you approach games with that style way more often?
Yeah.
Because... when you try it, it works, and then you don't try it the next time.
Let's also not act like his Arteta style has just never worked.
It's not saying that.
It's worked in many more situations, but he just has to be more brave in the right situations. And
no.
Through five games of the season, five Premier League games, you're right. He has not been.
I'm saying like last year, that approach. Or like last year and the year before, that approach was more understandable because the squads was a little bit more on par. Sure. But now you have the firepower.
Yeah.
You have the team to go out there and give it to City.
Yeah. Well, and I think I really hope Saka just stays healthy. And like, I just hope we play Eze down the middle. Eze, I don't know who's on the left. Like, it's an issue again. Just, I don't know, whatever. And then Saka. Just give me Saka, Gyökeres, Eze. As this little triangle on this right side, and hopefully it'll cook.
And then never go down the left.
Yeah, and then like put Trossard there, and then Martelli can come on and score a goal again.
There you go.
I do want to say one thing, though. I remember a certain last year when City tied up the game at their home ground.
Yes, dying moment. Haaland throws the ball at Gabriel.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they, you know, were... Of course, very excited about that, right? Remember any like repercussions about that? Them being excited about a draw at home? I don't really remember. I don't.
Well, I remember the game after that, of course.
What game after that?
The reverse fixture.
No, I'm not talking about the reverse fixture, though.
Okay.
I'm talking about this year when we do the same thing. I'm seeing a lot of narrative about Arsenal not having that mindset, being... You know, being too overexcited for a draw at home to City, a late winner.
I haven't seen any of that.
Well, I have. I'm also on Arsenal Twitter. You're not, and that's what it's on. So it's there.
I'm not saying.
Okay.
I'm on your side here. I think you celebrating a late draw against City, which is very valid.
Which also, I'm not extremely happy with. I'm happy that we got the draw.
Yes.
But the result as a whole, like we're at that point, we want to win every game.
If you said 1-1 before the game, you probably would have been like,
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the fact.
But like
you grab it like that, then
they played terrorism ball for 70 minutes. Haaland was literally a center back, and like if that was Gyökeres, we would not hear the end of it. Like genuinely not hear the end of it. And I just want to put that out there into the space. I don't even need you to respond to it. It's just I need to put it out there because it's just a thing, and it just happened. And of course, no one talks about it because
no, Blake, you. Talking nope. about it now mm-hmm. reinforces that behavior from the dummies out there.
Not really, though.
Yes, it does.
But
yes,
it no, does. If we're talking about
yes, it does, dude.
Equality, then all clubs should be, you know, given the same line, right?
Yeah, but that's not the case.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not saying it's just Arsenal above the rest. I'm saying every single top six team, no matter what they do, they could solve cancer and rival teams will talk shit. And that's something we all expect and we all participate in. That's it.
Fair.
That's it. So, yes, when you scroll Twitter obsessively, you're going to see some Arsenal hate.
Fair.
When I scroll Twitter obsessively, I'm going to see some United hate. You're going to see Arsenal love. I'm going to see United love. I'm going to see a bunch of City hate, Tottenham hate, Chelsea hate. Everybody hate.
Yeah.
Like, Fabrizio Romano is the most loved man in the world 2 years ago. He spends a little bit too much time on football Twitter, and all of a sudden, he's our biggest enemy.
He's football your biggest fans, enemy. I still fuck with
Fab. No. I'm a Fab guy. Yeah. It's more the guy over here.
Pretty much.
But I'm saying it's a thing you see all the time on Twitter. Like, this, no matter what you do, no matter what your team does, no matter how many goals you win by, no matter what, people are gonna find a way to hate on it. That's it.
That's it.
There's no you know, cult of how are we going to hate on Arsenal this week. There's none of that. There's no coercion. There's no conspiracy. There's none of that going on.
Okay.
It's just the way football works.
My final thoughts on Arsenal is that things need to change soon or else it'll be a very disappointing Premier League season.
As in
integrating Yorker is better. I think that is genuinely the key because that has been the issue is just scoring goals. And if you're doubling up on Saka, which kind of didn't really open up the game as much as I would have liked it to against City. But that's an issue with Madueke. Like, I think people who actually understand football will agree with me. This Madueke thing is great, but he's just a skill merchant. Like, if you can run past a player five times, that's fantastic. But if you never connect across or you never score from it, then what the fuck's the point? And to be fair, Madueke had another really good game and he actually did have a couple of really decent opportunities in this game.
Yeah.
Fair. But
could you play with the left in the future?
I kind of want him there. And maybe it's kind of counterintuitive, but he deserves a shot because he doesn't deserve to be dropped, but you need to bring Saka in for decisiveness. Saka gets doubled up, more space on the left for Madueke, Gyökeres through the middle. Hopefully is a dream come true.
Fair enough, then. All right.
You?
Let's move to United now, where they pulled off an upset, beat Chelsea 2-1.
Did not watch a lick of this game, by the way.
It was a roller coaster, mate. Absolute roller coaster. Like, how do you feel like going into a game like this, where it's United against Chelsea? Like, where does your allegiance lie?
I want Chelsea to win.
That pisses me off.
Why?
That pisses me off. Because you're an Arsenal fan. Yeah. It's your city rival.
Yeah, but like, I hate you guys.
I
think a lot of Arsenal fans would hate United more than Chelsea. I think so.
It would not be the majority.
Yeah, but
you're talking about it like my father. Majority.
Bro. And my father didn't like change allegiances halfway through. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a sore spot.
United beat Chelsea 2-1. Robert Sanchez with a red card in the fifth minute.
He's fucking garbage, bro.
You see, have you seen Hater Central on Twitter?
Of course I have.
Generational name. Yeah. He's great, like, hate nicknames for all of these players.
Yeah, and he does like the, what was
you know what Robert Sanchez's hate nickname was?
Tell me.
Robert Sanchez.
And he comes up with real creative names, too.
His full Guffy was the hate name.
That's crazy.
I don't think you can get more disrespectful than that.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's meta deep. Anyways, yeah. Bruno grabs on the 14th, Casemiro on the 37th, and Casemiro grabs his own red card right before halftime. That point, it was squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
It's not, like, Chelsea looked pretty bad.
Were you at home?
In this game. Yeah, I was at Old Trafford.
Okay, W.
So, I wrote down for this game, it's not a needle mover. You can't really judge us on Emerson because very weird circumstances in this game.
Yeah, red card always ruins things.
Yeah, ruins it. It was pouring down rain. And then, I don't know, like neither team looked crazy dangerous. He played fine. He didn't have much to do.
Fair.
If I'm being real. Chelsea didn't really create like a really good chance outside of Chalobah's goal in the 80th minute. After that, a couple scrambles in the box. But nothing much.
They're kind of on panic time, low-key. Well, if are I was they? A Chelsea fan, I would be.
Because again, like, I don't think this moves the needle for United. I don't think this moves the needle that much for Chelsea, just because of how weird of a situation this was.
Yeah,
by the 21st minute, you have brought off Estevao, Pedro Neto, and Cole Palmer. Very weird game,
yeah,
this.
Fair.
Very weird game.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. Like, you just... I'm happy with it. Don't get me wrong. I was very happy with the results.
Yeah.
I think there's some good performances in here that we should talk about.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not, you know, now looking forward to Brentford next weekend, you know? I'm not circling that on my calendar.
Ooh, United-Brentford's always a good fixture.
Yeah, away as well.
Oh, that makes me happy.
It was a decent game. Don't get me wrong. Like, again, you just, it's really tough to judge. It
That's
is.
Fair.
Couple of key moments in this game. I want to give a shout out to Sesko. He had the little, he
007,
had a flick on.
By the way. 007? Let me check.
I think he's 006 now.
Is that good?
But he came off at halftime.
Is that good?
I think you just can't judge it.
Oh my God.
It's true, mate.
Oh my God.
This is his second start in the United shirt.
That's fair. Second start, that's fair.
All right.
That's fair.
But he had a great flick-on header over to Mbeumo. I told you guys, remember we signed Sesko, and I told you, like, watch out for the flick-ons, right? I told you, watch out for the flick-ons.
Hey, man.
Ball from Bayinder, way over the top. Sesko on, I think it was, like, Chalobah or something. He gets up there, he flicks it on, puts Mbeumo through, perfectly weighted ball. Mbeumo hits it around Robert Sanchez, who takes him down, and it's a red card. That's because of Sesko there. I'm telling you, if Højlund is in that position, that is not happening.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Fair.
Stick it up to the big man. There you go. Route one football.
Wait, there's only his second start in the Prem.
Yeah.
So third start, actually.
Did he start in the Carabao Cup?
Oh, he did.
Yeah, okay. So. Definitely.
Oh, we have a Carabao Cup game?
He also came off. He came off in the. Oh. He came off at halftime as well.
What time is your?
So it's very hard to judge. I thought Sesko was playing good in the first half before he came off, but then we had Cunha come on for him. He was kind of playing the point. I didn't mind that very much.
Okay.
Bruno grabbing a goal. Shout out to him. A lot of people saying Ahmad didn't have a great game. I don't know. Thought Mbeumo was good. Beyond that, maybe De Ligt had a pretty good game. Yoro was kind of at fault for the Trevor Chalobah goal. Maguire had just come off a couple minutes before.
Sure.
Maybe he would have saved that goal, but who knows. Colby Manu barely saw the pitch in this game again.
What's new?
Yeah. You know who also didn't see the pitch was Garnacho, and that pissed me off.
Yeah, they protected him for sure.
And you know what? There's a shot at one point of Garnacho getting ready, taking his stuff off on the bench, taking his penny off, like getting a kit, going out to warm up, and then he just did not come on. They brought on Tyreek George instead. I was pissed, though. I wanted De Ligt to two-foot this man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Fair.
Yeah, it is what it is. We will take that. It is United's first back-to-back win at Old Trafford in a year.
Good for you guys, lad.
Did you see what happened to the United strand at this game?
Yeah, man. This is why people can have nice things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I've been talking a lot about like the dangers of social media, kind of the consequences it has over like real world harm.
Talk about that's like a topic in our class.
Is it actually?
Genuinely.
Oh my goodness.
Kind of, yeah.
I was obviously thinking of one certain situation a couple weeks ago, but then this one on a shallower level was just it's this top red in the concourse, goes up to him, grabbing him by the hair, calling him, saying he's not a proper red. And it's just, I don't know.
What are you doing, lad? What are you doing?
Just some people have an arbitrary definition of what a true fan is.
Yeah.
And anybody that doesn't fit that description and is posting about it on social media all of a sudden becomes an enemy of the club.
Yeah.
And it's a mentality that's just so outdated. And it's just, it's so toxic to a point where it's like, even like Goldbridge has problems, but it's like ranks in United fan base just refuse to accept him because they still peddle to this day that he's a Nottingham Forest fan. And it's, what are you doing?
That's crazy.
Just, nobody can cover this club. And
I might have to bleep that out.
If you're if you're not silent on social media, just going to the games, and all of a sudden you're not a proper United fan. And it's just ridiculous, because that extends to us, like, oh, you're not a proper Arsenal fan. You're not from London. You're not proper Hawks. Yeah. And I'm not a proper United fan because I was born in Canada. Not like it's outdated. Yeah, all I'm gonna say.
I do agree.
But yeah, that side of like football fan base pisses me off.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Probably because of where I'm from. But anyways. Okay. Moving on.
Before we move on, I just want to say one more Arsenal thing, because I always do. We play Newcastle away, must win game. We're not winning. So anyway, that's why like season is over.
Why do you do that?
Why do you do that? I would genuinely bet like so much.
Genuinely on a psychological level, why do you?
I don't know, man. Like I wish I could. Like I literally. Are you
gonna feel better about yourself if you drop points in that game because you've called it?
No. Not at all. I'll feel even worse. Like I it's like
do you feel like it saves you from banter?
No.
Okay.
It's just like a psychological thing. Like I'd rather it makes me feel less bad about.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, maybe it makes me feel a little less bad.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm a big person of like don't get your hopes up because like.
Yeah.
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 It's kind of a must win game, and we have a very terrible track record at St. James Park, and. The team is not teaming right now.
The team is not
like they're teaming okay, but they're not teaming like they could be.
No, I think you get it done. They just drew to Villa, was it? No, they drew to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Who's a good team, but.
Shout out my cherries.
Shout out Johnny for getting us these kids.
Yeah, facts.
They're beautiful kids.
Do you have to talk about Liverpool? Like, I don't really want to.
No. We'll go very, very quick.
So they
quick.
Won.
They beat Everton 2-1. The big conversation from this game was the amount of stoppage time.
Okay.
At Liverpool.
Oh, maybe we do spend some time on this. Because Julian, the Liverpool fan, likes to think I'm just a biased little guy.
Are you not?
Well, sometimes, but this time I don't think I am.
I think you're a biased big guy.
Thank you.
Biased, though.
Okay. I genuinely think the majority of people who are not Liverpool fans, who are just like adjacent.
Who are what? No. Rival fans?
No, you know what? Let me talk. If Goldbridge is on my side, will that give you any validation to what I say?
Probably not.
But that's what I'm saying. I give you other people who have the same opinion as me, and then you go, oh, but like your sources suck. Oh, it's a random Twitter account.
But Blake, this is the thing. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm not saying Everton didn't maybe get a little bit hard done by. Okay. Maybe it should have been 4 minutes, 5 minutes instead of three. Would it have changed the score? Absolutely fucking not. What are we saying? Oh, if Everton had two more minutes against the league title holders, then absolutely this would have been a draw. What the fuck are we saying?
Yeah, but
what the actual fuck is this? What has football discourse come to where we are arguing over 2 minutes that Everton didn't get against Liverpool at Anfield? What the actual hell are we saying? The fact that this is even a conversation that we are having pisses me off in general. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that this... If this is going to be the level of introspection we give to Premier League coverage, then what the hell are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. Why don't we talk about the Liverpool performance? Why don't we talk about Ekitike grabbing a goal in this game? Great story. Why don't we talk about Everton giving it a good go? Why aren't we talking about Iliman Ndiaye still doing well? But no, we're going to talk about Jack Grealish bitching to the refs again, and then Liverpool, you know, maybe playing for 2 minutes less than they should have. What are we doing? And the only reason this is pushed is not because any rival fan feels bad for Everton and because, oh, you know, I just want to stand up for what's right in this game. No. If this was Villa getting 2 minutes extra against Everton, you and everybody else would have no idea this even happened.
Yeah, because it's Liverpool. That's the whole point.
Exactly,
though.
That's my point.
Yeah, but that's exactly my point, too.
I'm saying I'm here for the rivalry. I'm here for the talking shit. I'm here for Hater Central.
You're not.
But when it gets to this level, I'm like, give it a rest, lad.
You're not.
Give it a rest.
You're not, though.
What are we arguing
over? If you were in a title race, you would think, like, you would be on my side. 1,000% you'd be on my side.
See, but then you throw out these arbitrary things like, oh, look, this Arsenal account is on my side. Look, other people are saying
Goldbridge
this. Yeah,
Goldbridge is on my side.
They had their own vested interest.
I told
dude.
You that the CBS or the whoever did the broadcast, like the Sky Sports, people were on my side as well. Like,
they posted a clip of Jack Grealish or
no,
or David Moyes.
I watched
about
the panel. I forget who the panel was, but I watched the panel. They were on my side as well. I'm just saying, like, the things are going in Liverpool's way. All the things that could go in Liverpool's way right now are going their way.
7 minutes against Arsenal was going in Liverpool's way. That's how much time was added on
yeah,
there.
But yeah, and then 3 minutes against this one. I'm not saying that they... the argument isn't that they've gotten the weird amounts of times in their games throughout the entire year. The argument was that this game, there was an allotted amount of extra time that did not make sense for the amount of extra time that should have been given.
And everybody says that. It's like, oh, there were multiple yellow cards in this one. One for time wasting. And it's like... go back, like you're acting like the referee going up to somebody and pulling out a yellow card is like takes like a minute.
All right, lad. You know what? That's fine. I'm gonna, again, we can agree to disagree. And next time you want to complain to me about a VAR decision or anything, I'm just gonna bitch you.
This isn't a VAR thing. This is just, this is not a gripe I have.
Any refereeing decision. I will not be.
This is not even a gripe with the referee decision. This is just my thing because look, this same mentality that we're talking about right now is the same one put on Arsenal, is the same one put on United all the time. It's the reaches, the stupid conversations we have that make you tired as a football fan and that makes you come to pod every single week going, oh, there's an Arsenal agenda, there's an Arsenal agenda, there's an Arsenal agenda. You know okay. Why you say that? Is because rival fans will just do anything for clicks on social media or for attention from rivals by bringing up these stupidest arguments and that shit is eaten up.
Or... you don't have to look at it as such a philosophical standpoint. And at the basis of what it is, I'm just kind of pissed off there was only 3 minutes added.
What? It should like, again.
And it could just end at that. But you want to be right overall.
We've talked now.
You want to make it all about the Arsenal agenda, which I do. I know I do that. But you want to make sure that my Arsenal agenda comments are completely... folded under the covers, put to bed, that Blake is wrong about the Arsenal agenda, and it's the fans reproducing these stigmas and these ideologies that make me so invested in this agenda I keep talking about.
Yes, and that's the kind of behavior that we both hate.
Sure, lad.
And this is a
sure.
This is a symptom of that mentality in modern day football fandom that I don't like, that you don't like either. I know you don't. But now, since, you know, it's the opposite side of the coin, now you're participating in it. Guess what now? When the same thing happens to Arsenal,
sure,
Liverpool fans are going to be the same shit. And it's going to be as dumb as an argument.
No, no, no. And I'll be there and I'll be unbiased. You think I'm genuinely, I think you think I'm more of a crazy fan than I actually am. Like, you call me crazy, you think this, whatever Arsenal agenda, but, like, it's game week 5. I know I said we win the Premier League this year. I was kind of 50-50 on that as well. We are not winning the Premier League this year. Like, I'll bookmark it right now. Like, we're just not. Like, I'm losing the will to watch, Julian. Like, it's game 5, and I'm losing the will to watch. Like, I liked it better. I liked it better when we didn't compete for anything. It was more fun. This isn't fun. I'm not having fun anymore.
I'm not saying you have to have... you are biased for Arsenal. I am biased for United, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure, yeah, we
have
inherent biases.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's fandom, baby. It's tribalism.
Yeah.
I love that. But it just gets to a point. I'm not saying there's a problem with you. I'm not saying there's a problem with me. I'm saying somewhere out there in the ether, there's a fucking issue. And like...
okay.
Like the fact that we're actually talking about two missed minutes,
but like
in a football game,
I don't know. We should disagree to disagree because I think that like that's just a really crazy thing to say that like 5 minutes in a game can't change anything because they can.
And you also did not watch the game, Blake. I hate to bring up that point as well, but you did not watch the game. You just went along with the discourse.
I watched the last 20 minutes, to be fair, or 15 minutes, to be fair. I woke up and watched it, not the whole game. 15 minutes.
You watched the last 15 minutes. Did you notice any stoppages in those 15 minutes?
A couple, probably. But again, like, when is the last time you've ever seen
watching the last 15 minutes.
When is the last time you've ever seen a close game go 3 minutes at a time? When? Give me an example.
It happens every single week. I bet you.
You bet me, you can't give me an example.
No, it doesn't, because it's never
like
remembered.
In a 4-0
It's never
in
remembered.
In a 4-0 game, sure. 3 minutes at a time, because it's over.
It's never remembered, dude.
It's over. We can, bro. We should move on.
It happens every single week. Okay, still
sure,
in football.
Sure. I'm not.
But I'm not. Obviously, it never gets remembered because why would it get remembered? Why would it get remembered?
I mean, sure. You know what? Sure. I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna say I'm not giving you your that you're right because I don't think you're right. But you know what? We can keep talking about it if we want. But it's just gonna keep going around in a circle.
Wolves leads. There was 4 minutes added on. I have to. I will do this now,
lad. Like. This is how badly you want to be right, per se?
No. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm not saying none of that. All right. I have a Brighton versus Tottenham. 3 minutes added on in the first half, even though there was
in the first goals. Half.
Yes.
We're not talking about the first half.
We're talking about halves.
No. There's 1 minute added on in the first half all the time, Julian. Do not move the goalpost. We're talking about the second half. Not the first. The second half.
Okay. All right.
Don't do that.
All right. There was 4 minutes added on then in the second half between Brighton and Tottenham.
That's one more than three, baby. That's one more than three.
Oh, my goodness, man. Did you actually see the yellow card infringements, like how quick they were? Did you watch the videos about it?
I think on average, a yellow card probably takes up like 30 to 45 seconds of play.
On average, probably about 30. Yeah. But that means some take 10 to 15.
Sure.
Some could take 60.
Some could take 7 if there's an injury.
7 minutes?
Yeah, there's an injury.
Some do. Yeah. Some do. But, you know, there's a crunchy tackle in the middle of midfield. You know, instant yellow. Boom. Done. Write it down. In the pocket. Play on.
Sure, lad. See, you...
I just think it's a really, like... I think the reason we're having this conversation is what irks me. Not the fact...
You have a fucking platform where you talk about football. And respectfully, in a week where the Premier League... was like fun, but nothing really crazy happened. There was a draw. Liverpool won. Tottenham drew. United won. We kind of talked about the
Gravenberch goal. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Gravenberch is like probably cementing himself once again as like one of the best midfielders, most underrated midfielders in the world.
You know what that goal reminded me of? Ronaldo at Anfield in 2015. Oh my God. It's beautiful. Have you seen the goal?
Yes, I have.
Did it not remind you of that?
That's not what my mind went to because I'm not a Ronaldo fanboy.
Looping over?
Yeah, it was a fantastic goal.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
What more do you want to say about it?
I just want to say it was a fantastic goal, and I want to give love to Ryan Gravenberch.
The narratives that come out of...
And I want to like talk about what this means for Liverpool's season, what we expect from them in their next couple of games. Okay. I want to talk about the fact that you thought this would be a draw last week when we tallied up Liverpool's future
points. I was close.
But you were wrong.
I know. Also... I'm keeping this narrative. If I don't think that Liverpool are going to draw points, then I'm really going to stop watching the league. Then I'm really going to stop watching the league. Because genuinely, from my perspective, if Liverpool don't drop any more points, there is genuinely no point in me watching the league. There's no point. There's no
You should
point.
Never stop watching the league. United came 15th last year. I'll still watch in every game. Don't do that to me.
I mean, like, that. I stopped watching at game 30, and, like, that's fine. What was the point?
I don't know. Maybe you want to watch your favorite team. You want to watch your favorite team.
I watched them in the Champions League.
Did I set my alarm for the 7:30 games? Not as much, but I caught the second half.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying I wasn't watching from minute 1 to 90 every single week.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I was glued to my TV all the time, but I'm saying I kept up with it. I came to the pod prepared. I still kept up in conversation. I still kept up with what was going on. I was still interested in what was going on. I was still, okay, let me take up some...
I still saw who they won or lost. Like,
obviously... But that's only the half of it. I want to talk about where Liverpool goes from here. I want to talk about what we think they're going to do now. Okay. Like, do you expect still? Like, we haven't talked about their Champions League game either. Like, again, it was a last-minute winner.
More of the same.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Like, they're still putting up. If you want to talk about how, like, Everton could have grabbed something out this game, then we can push the narrative that Liverpool do not look that good. We can still keep up that narrative.
I mean, I did, and you didn't like that narrative.
I think still there's a chance that the wheels come off the bus. I still think there's a chance that we do see a fall from Liverpool.
Then maybe we flip-flop, because, like, I'm defeated. I'm fucking defeated. Nothing's going our way.
Something can happen.
I mean, sure, it could. And I'll keep watching.
It's game week 5, brother, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I've watched this same story for my entire life. My entire life, Julian. Like, I'm gonna watch to hope, because Liverpool, you're right, they do not look unstoppable. They fucking don't.
No, they Vierce don't.
Does not look like
let's
he's
talk about that, bro.
So then let's fucking talk about it.
Yes, but then, instead we spent 10 minutes on fucking 2 minutes
you're
of
the one.
Time.
You're the one who ranted for 5 minutes about it. You're the one that got heated.
If it
about
wasn't
it.
For you, this would not have been a conversation
on this
podcast.
It's my fault now. You know whose fault it is that.
Oh my God.
Nah, you want to know whose fault? You want to know whose fault it is that Liverpool don't look as good? Is fucking Florian Wirtz. You want to talk to me about. You need to admit that he's not been good enough this year. Admit it!
He's not been looking very nice
Thank
so far.
Fucking Jesus, gosh darn H Christ, man. Also,
he's looked decent.
I was going to say something way too political on this podcast, and I'll tell you after. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
But think about Christ. Think about what happened today. Think about, like, anyway, we're not talking about it.
The specific holiday today.
No, I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about more like, anyway. It's fine.
You can't just drop that on the pod and then just go, I'll tell you after.
Now you're interested, eh?
Yes, I am.
But
Vierce? I still think he looks decent because there is an aspect of the game that he brings that is not just straight GA. All right? And I but you have to admit, yes, that like he said when he arrived at Liverpool, he's like, oh, the numbers that Salah's putting up, the onus that is on him,
yeah,
that's what's going to be on me after he leaves. And he has not started how he means to go on. That's for sure. That is for sure. And I still think, like, oh, he is still taking time to get used to the Prem. And I was going to say before, like, oh, maybe, like, you know, it's a Bundesliga thing, whatever. But Ekitike looks like he's holding his own.
Yeah.
Ekitike looks like he's holding his own. Like, I don't put it that much on Wirtz. I still think the jury is very much out. Are some people jumping the gun? Absolutely. But is there truth to what they're saying? That as well. So, yeah. I just think, like, you know, put a bookmark in it. Like, we see how it goes. In this game, he didn't even start. So, is that a sign? Maybe.
I don't know.
Has he hit 007? Or is he 6 now?
006, not including.
I think we do include.
No.
Charity Shield.
No. Because it's.
Oh, did not get an assist.
Because it's not a trophy.
No, he got an assist in the fucking Community Shield, didn't
he? That's why I'm saying we don't. That's why.
Oh, that's why you're not counting it. Okay,
no, but
it's convenient.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking goddamn bitch ass fucking bitch. Oh my God. It doesn't count. If it doesn't count as a trophy, then it doesn't count as a real game.
I think it counts as a trophy.
Well, so many other people don't, so I'm not hearing it.
I'm saying, like,
because it's not in Arteta's trophy cabinet. I'll tell you that for sure.
It's counting as a trophy?
No.
It's not a major. It's not anywhere
near.
No.
We're not talking about a fucking major. Is it a trophy? Yes or no? And apparently not when it's Arteta. So we're not doing it. We're not doing it.
No. I think Crystal Palace has a reason to celebrate beating Liverpool in the Community Shield.
1,000% they do.
Absolutely.
Does Arsenal have a reason?
I'm saying not every trophy is built the same. The Nations League is not built like the Euros, but it's a trophy. It's not one that I'll remember in 5 years, but it's a trophy. You were probably happy when you beat City in the Charity Shield.
Of course I was happy.
You were happy for like a couple of days, and then it's all right.
Over to
the real business.
Of
so
course.
It is a trophy. It is a shield. But it's not...
Fair.
But it's not one that you're like, you know,
I love,
1 year ago today we won.
I love how we said Liverpool would be quick and we've talked about it for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just scared, dude. Like, I just want a good league. It doesn't even have to be us. It doesn't even have to be Arsenal.
But you know what the thing is? Like, if Liverpool are doing really, really well, I don't want you shutting down on me.
I want you here talking
about them.
I know. And, like, I'm going to try, but it's hard. It's hard. Like, Arteta sold me a dream. And, like, think about it. Like, the Raptors, they did it for me. TFC did it for me a little bit. But, like, my big three. Actually, the Raptors were part of my big three. But my big two. The 1-2 punch, man. It might just never happen for me.
Mm.
And, like, it's just hard for me to ever see a reality where it's going to happen. Like,
man, that's crazy. You support the Arsenal of every sport. That's crazy.
Kind of. Like, literally, yeah. Like, genuinely, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? You know what? We're going to get to fucking April, and, like, Leafs are going to be in the playoffs, and Arsenal's going to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Maybe they'll win. Maybe they won't. At the end of the day, they're both going to crash out miserably, and I'm going to be fucking depressed as always. And guess what? I'll be back. I'll be back the exact same next year, probably having the same narratives, probably saying the same things, probably backing Arteta like a fucking idiot. But I'll be here.
It's still major or bust. Still major or it's time to go.
Yes.
All right. I'm just glad we're sticking to that.
Yeah.
Quick little word, too. you brought up Arteta managers reminded me of Jose Mourinho.
I just like
yeah, I just first have game for Benfica. I just want to give it a little shout out. You can talk I don't know about how it. I feel actually. If we're talking about Mourinho, we have to talk about the Carabao game, which
we're Julian. We're not.
I'm saying like for a quick minute, like that is actually like in the depths, like. I can't even think of a United equivalent of losing to Carabag.
No, yes, you can.
No, like, you don't understand how meaty Carabag is.
I mean, Grimsby, like, let's be so real.
Not in 90 minutes, though. Not in 90 minutes. Look, like, we... Like, the fact that Benfica deserved to lose against Carabag. Benfica deserved to lose against
Carabag. This is crazy.
And you're 2-0 up against Carabag, and you lose 3-2. United...
Were you not 2-0 up against... Grimsby?
No, we were down 2-0 because of Onana. And then we're coming back and we're pushing for the third. And then
so much.
And then obviously you look at the stats, we deserve to win that game. And then it's a draw, and then it's a coin flip on penalties, and then it does not go our way. Yeah. Whatever. But losing in 90 minutes, 3-2 to a team from, can you guess a country? Throw out a guess.
Qatar.
Nope.
I don't know.
That they're not in Europe, but
are they not? Are they in Asia?
They are.
Yeah, but they're on like the border, no?
No, not really. More Africa, Asia border. But you're kind of there. Any other guesses? A country Rafael Shahinian really wouldn't like.
Turkey.
Other one.
Armenia. Oh, wait, he's Armenian. I don't know.
Azerbaijan.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Okay. But that tells you how meaty Carabag is.
I mean, I don't really understand why you're downplaying the Grimsby performance, but anyway.
I'm not downplaying the Grimsby. What I'm saying is, like...
We've already spent too long on this topic. I'm going to be so honest, Julian.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry. No, let me not yuck your gum. Go ahead.
Shout out Mourinho.
No, go Mourinho. I have nothing to say. I don't follow Portuguese football unless it's Gyökeres. So, go ahead.
That's all, man.
No, go.
So, the day that Mourinho managed his first game for Benfica was 25 years ago to the day that he had taken over Benfica as his very first managerial job. Did you know that?
So, like, 25 years apart, you're saying?
But, yes. But it gets a little bit crazier because the reason that Mourinho didn't last long at Benfica is he had a little bit of a rocky start, but then it's not because he was that bad at Benfica before he moved on to Porto, et cetera.
Sure.
It's because right after he took over the job, a new president was appointed or elected for Benfica, and he had been saying in the campaign trail for a long, long time that he had promised to bring back Tony. An old coach of ours that was like a bit of a legend. We were in a skid, so I was like, "Oh, I'll bring back like this old coach. Okay. I'll bring back Sir Alex Ferguson of Benfica to come take us over again and bring us back to the promised land." Whatever. I don't even know how that went, Mourinho after 11 games got the boot through no fault of his own. Whatever.
Just because.
Now he's back 25 years later, and guess what's coming up for Benfica?
An election.
Presidential election. One of the candidates is saying if he gets elected, he's going to do everything in his power to get Jurgen Klopp on board. Is that going to happen? Definitely not.
Yeah, well.
But how funny would it be if Mourinho comes in again, manages 11, 12 games, and then new president comes in, you're out again, lad, for my guy.
Yeah, it'd
be funny. That would be hilarious. Kind of an injustice. But anyways, they have their box office manager now. From a footballing perspective, I don't know how I feel about it. You would expect... like a decent little bounce from the players, but it's not that different from the manager that we had previously. And yeah. So.
I have no good discourse to add, so.
All right. Shout out Carabag, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Very quickly on the rest of the games to get here. Tottenham drew 2-2 at Brighton. They were 2-0 down. They came back. Cool.
I'm so scared for the first North London derby.
When is that?
About me again.
When is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Can't come slowly enough.
Real Madrid won 2-0 against Espanyol. Did you see Ademir Lattal's goal?
No.
Look it up. You know companies against Leicester?
Yeah.
Same vibe.
Oh.
But further out.
Nice.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Juventus drew 1-1 with Hellas Verona. Just funny. Bayern won, of course. And on Sunday, what other games were there?
Barca won.
That was happening under your watch.
It was?
During our shoot, of course. Newcastle drew 0-0 with Bournemouth. Sunderland drew 0-0 with Villa. Villa's awful start to the Premier League campaign continues. Atletico Madrid continues their woes in La Liga. They drew 1-1 with Mallorca.
I saw that. Simeone, man.
It's rough. It's rough, man. It's really rough. And over to the Champions League. How did you enjoy the Champions League?
Honestly, maybe it's just me. I found the games, like, now that the new format's not the new format and it's old. Like,
really? Yeah. I don't know, man.
Because
especially when...
I don't ride with that. I don't know. Maybe
I really like it.
Maybe I just have to go at it from a different perspective, but I heard someone talking about it. I don't know. Maybe it was just, again, that stupid person. I have no idea. But they were like, you know who it was? Actually, I think it was Theo Walcott.
What the fuck?
Nah, he's like a pundit. Bro, don't disrespect Theo.
I never heard him on air.
But he was like, it almost kind of ruins the excitement of the big games because there's so many big games. And I don't agree with that. But I'm not as excited as I was last year, if that makes sense. Because, like, now playing for a draw with 8 games against a really good team kind of is okay. But when there was only 6 games in the group and you played that team twice,
yeah,
you kind of wanted to win one of those games. You kind of had to win one of those games. Now when there's 8 teams, and let's say you have a really fortunate draw, you can go away to Inter, you can go away to PSG, you can go away to Bayern, and, like, kind of just set up shop and hope for the best.
I just like that we're having big teams play the big teams.
Yeah,
and it's different every week.
Yeah, and that's the good part about it. I'm just saying that doesn't always equate to good football. And that's what's frustrating sometimes.
It usually does, though.
Well.
It usually does.
Well.
Juventus-Dortmund, that game was cinema.
Good. And that was the one I chose not to watch because I was watching the other game.
See, you gotta get on the goal zone.
I don't have that.
Well, you gotta get on illegal streams.
Fair enough.
And then you gotta mute the group chat because you're 3 minutes behind.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
This game was absolutely bananas. We'll go over it quickly. But it was Chloe Kelly and then
bananas.
Vlahovic in, like, the last minutes to grab it. It was 4-2 initially. That's just, yeah, insane. Other games included Union Saint-Gilloise grabbing a 3-1.
Yeah, shout out PD, bro.
Mm-hmm. I told you. Oh, we're going to PSV. That's a win.
Interesting.
Okay, not we.
I said.
That's an invalid we. That's.
I said PD would be an outstanding player.
And he
you
is.
Just said it before me.
And he is. Real Madrid won 2-1 against Marseille.
Lucky.
Aubameyang goal.
My boy.
Shout out.
Hey, Marseille beat PSG today. Fuck you, Antoine.
I don't think he cares a lot. I'm going to be so honest. That,
and that's why. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, that is ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, just nobody gives a fuck about,
like,
that.
That's what I'm saying. That's not
But they
good.
Can afford that cushion because, well...
Yeah,
like,
because
look.
Their league is a fucking joke.
Yeah, it is.
Like, is the MLS a better league than
no.
the Liga?
No.
I'm not saying talent-wise. I'm saying
no, it's not, dude.
Watchability-wise. Dude, no. Watchability-wise?
Nope.
Dude, nope. Maybe.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
Absolutely not.
Because think of the MLS.
I'm thinking of TFC, and I don't like it.
At least the best teams, like, have decent players. Like, they'll have one or two decent players. You have, like, your, like, Messi's and your Benteke's and your...
Christian Benteke is the second name
and, like,
out of your mouth.
Well,
and your...
Almiron's is there again.
Okay. Conversation over. Jesus Christ.
It's just, lad. I just cannot fathom a league. At least the Bundesliga has been competitive over the last couple of years. I cannot fathom a league where it's so uncompetitive that you lose against your biggest rival and you don't even care. That is fucking disgraceful. There's something inherently wrong with the way
they're
doing
it. Well, okay, special situation because of the Ballon d'Or today. That's the reason. If this game happened yesterday when it was scheduled to, Antoine would have been a little bit pissed, and he would have been right to be a little bit pissed. But if it's happening at the exact same time as the Ballon d'Or ceremony where a PSG player ends up winning it, obviously you're going to pay more attention to that. No fucking shit.
I guess. I don't know. But it's just like
all the best PSG players did not play that game. And that tells you where the importance
they
lies.
They were also all hurt, to be fair.
Okay, well, fair enough then. But it's just like,
You know what? PSG are on goal difference, or on goals for, not
there top you go. Of the league. There you go. And this time last year, Monaco was first in the league as well.
They're first again. I wish nothing more than for PSG to not win the Liga this year.
That'd be entertaining, yeah. For sure. For sure. And I just want to be a little bit pissed about it, but I don't know. Would be a heartbreaker. Be like, oh, he'd wow. take a second Liga and back-to-back Champions Leagues. I know that for
but
sure.
But can we do this, though? If they don't win Liga this year, we must clown him. We must.
We can try, but I don't... He's not going to be yeah, but see, crashing
why,
out
but
at
that's
it.
Why you have to get... You have to be on my side here.
Okay.
You have to like... You no, have to, I'll do it. It has to be a collective sure. effort.
I'll do it.
Man, oh, European champion. The fact that you agree to do that for a whole year. What are you doing, lad?
It doesn't really trigger you that much.
Like, yeah, because would you do it for me? I don't know.
I would. I've told you multiple times.
You're going to do it this year, then?
If you win the Champions League, I will refer to you as European champion.
We're never... We're actually not winning anything ever. This is so bad.
PSG won 4-0 against Atalanta. Liverpool, as we talked about, beat Atleti 3-2 with a last-minute winner once again. Bayern beat Chelsea 3-1.
That was a fun game.
That was a fun game. Inter beat Ajax 2-0.
Don't care.
Yep. Man City beat Napoli 2-0. Shout out Jeremy Doku. Looked brilliant
bro,
in that game.
KDB got subbed off in like the 30th minute.
That kind of ruined it, didn't it?
What are we fucking doing?
Fuck Di Lorenzo, man. I know. Fuck Di Lorenzo. And then Barca won 2-1 at St. James's Park.
What about the Arsenal game?
I brought it up first thing. Oh. I did. And you said, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, we didn't play that well.
Yeah. Shout out Marcus Rashford. To end the episode.
Yeah, shout out Rashford, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Onana grabbed an assist at the weekend.
Man, he's going to... Bro, the best case scenario is that he plays really well and becomes your keeper again. So I get to see him play for you again.
Cool. Okay.
That's all I want.
But yeah, every former United player just balling out already. It's just ridiculous. All right, let's move on to FPL Fantasy.
Yeah, roundup. Yeah. My laptop's closed, so take it away.
I'm happy to announce that I did not come last this
Yay!
Week. Last place by 11 points was Change Name. And we're going to have to issue a little punishment if he doesn't change
There might name. Be a point deduction if he doesn't.
Genuinely.
Yeah, like it's bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
36 points on the week. It is stinky. Yeah. Sanchez in for a -3. The whole defense blanked. Semenya with 5. Ndiaye with 2. Kudus with 7. And Salah as captain with 10 points. Kind of saved the week because everybody else blanked.
Yeah,
he had Nico Williams on the bench for a 10-pointer. That's tough.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's tough.
It's bad.
Moving up one to Dam Danso. He got 47 points on this week, but is still last in the league. But he's closing the distance. He activated his wild card this week. A little out there in the strategy. He played a 5-back. Basically, the wild card was a little bit early. But the whole idea was you play Salah, you play Mateta, and then you bring in Haaland next week. I'm going to sell Salah. I'm going to bring in Palmer. I'm going to sell Mateta, bring in Haaland for game week 6 onwards. That's what everybody is basically doing. Everybody's bringing in Haaland now. I would have liked to bring Haaland in. In retrospect, it would have worked out with a goal against Arsenal.
Yeah.
But it's how the cookie crumbles.
Maybe a wild card this week.
I think most are.
No, but I have 2 free transfers, so I should save it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. All right, then. Reiner's on his bench, on my bench, for 9 points, and Guy with 6. Dubravka with 4 points. I missed out on that as well. 47 points on the week. It's a green arrow. I will take it. Whatever. We move on. Second place is...
Thank you.
Puffin on Zuby.
Yeah.
50 points. Good job, lad.
I'm cooking.
Yeah, you are cooking. You are cooking. I'm realizing now how far off we are, Antoine. Holy shit.
It's 20 points, no?
It is 24.
Yeah, that's like one good week. One good week. I'm gonna be in first place by next week. Just wait.
Okay. 50 points for you. You had Virgil van Dijk with a 4-pointer. You had Reinders with 9 and Dai with 6. Salah captain with 10. Semenya with 5. And Mateta with 6.
Yeah.
Decent week for you.
Yeah, not bad.
And then first place, once again.
He only had 51 points, though. 51, right?
54.
Okay. But see, I'm close. I'm like,
You're close. It was Frim Ping Pong, my favorite Sunderland fan. He had Bruno Fernandes in his team. That was the main differential. He also had Hugo Ekitike as well. On his bench, though, he had 18 points. No. He had 24 points on his bench.
That is crazy.
Damn.
Could never be me.
Reinders for 9.
Should have bench boosted.
Senesi with 9. Estev and Dubravka did not blank either.
I hate how there's an Estev and an Estevao. It makes me so mad. Just want to put that out there.
All right. And that'll do it for the Six Yard Box podcast, everybody.
Okay.
We have gone for an hour 20.
That's good. That's
how have we done this?
That's the range.
How have we done this?
It was good, though. We have different type of talks when we do this. It's fun.
Yeah. Have fun clipping this, Antoine.
I know, right?
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this has been yet another episode of the Six Yard Box podcast. If you are listening on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, hit that little big red button and that notification bell so you never miss another episode of this shit housery. These great conversations we have every week.
Mm-hmm. Keep up on the socials. Look for more info on the charity match. Donate.
Hell yeah.
If you get this far. Dude.
Hell yeah. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give a little 5-star rating and let us know, did Dembele deserve the Ballon d'Or? And if you say no, something's wrong with you. Anyways, this has been myself, Julian, and Blake, and we will see you all next week. Goodbye, everybody.
We out.